This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. For some, the fall has been a trying time for their mental health. Some are overwhelmed by political news. Others may be along the roller coaster season of the Green Bay Packers. Add to that the upcoming holidays, and it is a season that keeps staffers at the statewide Center for Suicide Awareness busy.
The nonprofit center is based in Kaukauna and offers text-based emotional support. Barb Begalke is the organization's executive director, and she joins us in the studio. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mitch. It's great to be here.
So anecdotally, we always seem to hear that the holiday season is a stressful time for many people. Do you see that reflected in the work that you do?
Absolutely. You know, the holidays are a day of family and rejoicing and getting together. And so you see a lot of people, you know, hustling and bustling and being happy. And so if you're sitting there sort of going, but I'm not happy, you sort of really feel alone. And with the holidays, too, you also feel stressed. You sit there and say, you know, how many more days until the holidays? How many more days before I have my shopping done? We love our families, but sometimes families can also cause stress.
I hear that, yes.
Right? Exactly. And so with that being said, we see that on our text line, the Hope Line, a lot of times people will just say, you know, I'm feeling overwhelmed. Looking forward to the holidays, but I'm feeling pressure. And so those are the kind of things we look out for, the holiday blues, we call them.
Do expectations play into that as well? I mean, you're supposed to be happy this time of year.
Right. And so what happens if you're not? You don't fit in. And I think all the expectations of, if I'm going over and I'm cooking the meal, well, what if so-and-so doesn't like my sweet potato pie? You know, those kind of expectations we actually put on ourselves, and sometimes we can't rise to those kind of standards.
Well, and so when does stress become overwhelmed, and when does overwhelmed intersect with the work that you do in terms of, you know, raising awareness for suicide and intervening when it becomes a real danger?
Absolutely. You know, we all have stress. That's every day. No matter what age you have stress. Even in the work we do with our small little kiddos in elementary, they have stress as well. And as we grow and into adulthood, our stresses differ. And so when we talk about effectively handling our stress, that's saying, yes, every day we might have a good day or a bad day, but we can effectively start a next day with a new attitude, with a positive attitude, or I can get through this type of attitude. When we start to see the next level, what you talked about is overwhelmed, where it starts to be very cumbersome, where people are saying, you know what, I can't sleep at night. Or this is affecting my work relationships, my personal relationships. That's when we start to say you're in the overwhelmed stage.
There's no reset button after that stressful day.
Exactly. And so people will say to us, you know, I can't put it away. I'm laying awake and I can't put my day away. And that's when we think about, you know what, you're not getting enough sleep. We've all been there where we wake up the next day and say, I'm not really feeling refreshed. And so with that, the next level that we really are concerned about is when you have those days that add into weeks and weeks add into months, where you really do see somebody that is now getting into what we call the depression stage, where it's been lasting more than 30 days. It's not just, you know, I had a bad week at work or a bad week just period. It is, I've had 30 days and I am not doing well. And so we really urge, when people get to that point, to reach out to people. I think that's the biggest message when we talk about suicide prevention is reach out, talk about it. Doing these kind of interviews, breaking that stigma that people think, yeah, but if I reach out, I'm going to look weak or they're going to think less of me. We got to break those stigmas of saying, no, everybody struggles somewhere down in their life. We all need help.
Well, and there's this image, I think, that a lot of us have in our heads about the suicide helpline. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, these are things that have been around for a long time. I'm struck by the fact that it has, if not been replaced, certainly supplanted or added to by people. You have a text helpline.
Correct. You know, technology has changed us. Let's face it, anybody that has a teenager, how do you get a hold of a teenager? You text them. They don't answer their phones, but they'll answer you if you text. So when we really work with suicide prevention, it's saying, how do you get to the person that needs it? And if it's technology, let's use it to our advantage. And so, yes, we have some suicide hotlines that you can call and pick up. But what if you had somebody that could text into it. So a couple things with text. A, you're anonymous. It gives that safety factor. They don't hear the reflection in my voice. They don't really know who I am. Hard of hearing. And people in the deaf community. There is nothing that has to be set up so there's no barrier involved with it. People that don't feel like they're in a safe spot to talk, now they have the ability to text. And so it's just adding another component to get a resource to the people that need it.
Is it more complicated to be on the help side of the equation when you're talking about a text? Because while the person that might be having these suicidal thoughts can't read the inflection in your voice when you're texting back at them, nor can you, as the person who's helping, read the inflection in the voice of the person who's calling for or texting for help.
Actually, it's just the opposite.
Really?
And that was one of our concerns, to be honest with you. We were like, can we feel what this person is actually saying?
Right. Everybody's misunderstood an email because someone is being sarcastic and you didn't realize it.
Right. You know, or they put caps on accidentally right. And you thought they were yelling. People that are texting in, they know that they're using technology. They know you can't hear my voice. You can't hear if I'm crying or if I'm angry or what my affliction is in my voice. So they're very cognizant of that. So with that, they spell out details that are very much to the point you can actually see the image of what they're talking about. So on the other end, our responders are actually answering these texts via a laptop and a computer. And so one of the beauties of texting is we never interrupt each other. So when somebody's talking, isn't it real easy to say, oh, yeah, I know how you feel. And you interrupted that person. With texting, they have to complete their thought. And then that person can respond. And so you get this great connection between the responder and the person that's asking to say, I want to be there for you. I want to hear you. And so a lot of times people say, you know, I'll give you some more detail. So we've had people that maybe have gone through a very hard relationship or a breakup. And so they'll explain everything. I mean, you can actually picture where this breakup happened and how their feelings were and what the surroundings were because they want to make sure that they are heard and understood.
Who are the people on that end, the people that are helping those who reach out? I don't need names, but,
right.
you know
right.
who are—
Responders.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The people on the other line, we call them our responders, or our crisis counselors. They're trained. So they are actually throughout our state of Wisconsin, because the Hope Line is the state of Wisconsin. And they are trained in things like different aspects of like abuse, safety, domestic violence, breakups, emotional support. So they actually go through very tough training, let's put it this way. We have really benefited from our college campuses that a lot of our graduate students, like that are going for graduates maybe in social work or psychology or master's programs or criminal justice, they do their internships on the response portion of it. And they'll be the first to say, this is real life. This is real life when I have somebody going back and forth with me and I really have to understand what their needs are.
There's more at stake than a midterm.
Exactly. Then check the right box on a piece of paper. And so the responders actually go through a long list of education. Just like you would pass an exam, they have to pass an exam to see if they're ready to be on this because, again, you're dealing with people.
Not to sell this show short, but I think the number of, say, 10 to 15-year-olds who are listening in the middle of the day, I hope they're in school, you know. So aside from reaching out to people in venues like this, how are you reaching the kids who might need your help?
For one, let's talk about some statistics for a minute. The second leading cause of death amongst our 13 to 24-year-olds is suicide. And so that's second leading cause of death. Think about what they go through.
Nationally or Wisconsin? Or,
Wisconsin. Okay. And so they're driving, they're voting, they're going to school, they can go into the military, they can drink legally. So all of those things are happening during that time frame, yet it's the second leading cause of death is suicide. And so when we talk about reaching down to people, we use the mode that works. So the Department of Public Education has said, you know what, we want this text line in every single public, private, you name it, educational type of group. You will see anything from posters in bathroom walls to cards that are in front of you to magnets on file cabinets to
Can cozies.
Can cozies. believe it or not, to work with our 21 and above age, we teamed up with Miller Beer. And Miller Beer has a pint glass for us that on the other side is a text line. And so the Tavern Leagues have picked that up and said, boy, what a great way to know that if somebody walks into my tavern or bar to say, hey, you're struggling, you're talking, you know that this is a resource for you. And so our Tavern Leagues have really picked it up and moved it throughout. Packer games, when the Packers aren't doing good, you see a lot of those text lines sitting out there on the bar.
Really?
Exactly. There's a lot of bars here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin that have our Hopeline mugs.
When someone texts for help,
mm-hmm.
how long does that process usually play out? How does the responder know when the crisis has passed?
Couple things. For one, you're immediately connected. For two, some of the variables that we ask is, how much is this impacting your life? So say somebody texts in that has a horrific breakup. We'll say, how much is this impacting your life? Well, you know, like those little smiley charts that you go into the ER room, right? And you're supposed to figure out your pain category. Same type of thing. We might say to them, this is an 8. This is really overwhelming. This is really hard for me. By the end of that conversation, we want to see that they have managed it down to a 2 or a 3. So we're sort of taking that temperature of saying, are you okay now? Do you have resources? Do you have connections? Do you have people that you can talk to before we're letting go of them? Some of these conversations are around 3 hours.
Is there follow-up afterwards?
A lot of times people will text us back and say, you know what? Last week was really bad. This week I'm doing good. So they actually do their own follow-up. Because the service is free and it's open 24/7, they can text as many times as they want. We'll have people say, this week is really bad. Can I text every day? You bet. It's there for you.
And so to bring this conversation full circle, mm-hmm. we're talking about the holidays. Have you seen that stress level reflected in the volume of requests for help?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We can tell you when we see major holidays, like Valentine's Day. Boy, we had a Friday the 13th and a Valentine's Day right in the order. So guess what? Our call volume went up. We just had an election. Our call volume went up 46%. So now we're starting to see the holidays, as well as we're starting to see, you know what, winter's going to be coming in. So how do I pay my bills? Income taxes are going to be coming around. We can see the stress levels already. And the call volume is going up.
The call volume went up 46% around the election.
Yes. That spoke volumes to us.
How does a responder respond when someone is overwhelmed by political news?
That's something that's out of control, right? And I think that's where people start to feel that hopelessness and helplessness is, I can't control that outcome. So that's why I'm even more stressed about it, because I have no play in it. And so that's when you really have to be on your skill level as a responder to say, okay, let's talk this through. Let's take more little bite sizes and then the whole overwhelming. Are you fearful of how this could affect your job? Or is this fearful of how this might affect your community? So you take those and break them apart. Let's face it, when somebody takes on a project that's so huge, it's overwhelming. You can't even sink your teeth into it. But you break it apart into more manageable things, then you can start to work forward. And that's exactly what we did. We were like, okay, let's take one portion of it. What's the first thing that's stressing you out? And go from there. That's why a lot of these conversations last as long as they do.
Well, Barb Bogalke, it's really important work that you do. Thank you so much for doing it and for sharing your story with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here.
Barb Bogalke is the executive director of the Center for Suicide Awareness. It's based in Kaukauna, but is a statewide network that offers 24/7 text-based emotional support for people, along with other services related to suicide prevention and awareness. There's a link to more about the group at wuwm.com.